Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Caleb sent me a note about a story from KEZI, which is Channel 9, and the story's out of Eugene, Oregon. And this is the kind of thing, it pops up from time to time in different iterations, versions, and so on, where someone who's in a position of trust steals something from the people who trust them. And it can be a lot of money if the person's in a good position and really abusing that trust. So this is the former Weyerhaeuser employee sentenced in a massive embezzlement case. One person, a Eugene woman who embezzled millions from Weyerhaeuser, was sentenced on Wednesday. She's 62 years old. She'll serve 4 years, 9 months in prison, as well as 3 years of supervised release. And authorities say that she worked at Weyerhaeuser for more than 40 years. 40 years, she built up a lot of trust with them, but then she defrauded them out of more than $4.5 million. Court documents say starting as early as June of 2004 and continuing through January of 2019, she submitted fraudulent invoices for payments to a fake vendor. In 2014, the company transitioned to a new payment processing system in an attempt apparently to rein this type of stuff in. And she then set up a fake vendor account in the new system and forged signatures of her colleagues and used coworkers' computer login credentials to create requests and approve payments. So before there was the good system in place, she would just simply submit an invoice to herself, in essence, and pay the invoice, but the invoice was sent by her. So she'd basically pay herself the money, but she would create it and make it look like it was an outside vendor. And she's hoping that with the company's biggest Weyerhaeuser, that they wouldn't notice this, you know, little bit of money being taken out every now and then. And of course, little bits add up to the point where it becomes $4.5 million. I mean, it starts out with just, you know, 50 cents at a time, becomes $4.5 million. I mean, that's how it happens. She reportedly used the money to fund expensive dinners, vacations, six-figure wedding expenses, and shopping sprees. So I'm starting to wonder now if she got married in an expensive wedding or if somebody she knew, a relative perhaps. And of course, if you are a friend of hers and she, you know, had gifted you something very, very valuable, right about now you're wondering, oh, did she steal that? In 2020, she was charged with a superseding criminal information with mail fraud, aggravated identity theft, tax evasion, and she pleaded guilty the next day. So when they caught her, she's like, oop, got me. And no lengthy trials, no crazy appellate processes, at least not yet. Now, she's been ordered to pay $5.3 million in restitution, including $775,000 to Weyerhaeuser, $3.8 million to the Crime Victims Fund, and $807,000 to the Internal Revenue Service. So the beautiful thing about this is you'd think to unwind this deal, you'd simply say, okay, you stole $4.5, give back $4.5 plus the interest, and there is a method for doing that in the law. You can get a thing called prejudgment interest. And that's the interest that accrued on something before the judgment was entered. And you can also get post-judgment interest for the interest that accrues on the judgment itself. So if somebody stole $100 from you a couple years ago and you sue them, you don't just get back the $100 if you win. You can get back the $100 plus what interest it would have earned. So it seems to me kind of odd that if she defrauded the company out of $4.5, the amount they're saying to pay back to Weyerhaeuser is only $775. But I don't quite know. It says here that they want restitution and a crime victims fund. And the question is, why is $3.8 going into a crime victims fund unless Weyerhaeuser is a crime victim and they get the money from the fund? I don't know. They might be doing it for tax purposes because, again, they're saying that she owes $807,000 to the Internal Revenue Service. And yes, as people will point out, that's what they got Al Capone for. They allege that he was making money on the shady side of the law. And rather than bust him for what he was doing on the shady side of the law, they said, well, either way, he's making money. He's not paying taxes on it. So tax evasion, boom. So they get her for $807,000 in unpaid taxes. Now, people are going to ask and say, what are the odds she can pay any of that back? Well, if she splurged it, as we think, the odds of getting that back, pretty slim, because you can't get the money back for those expensive dinners, vacations, or six-figure weddings, or the shopping sprees. Unless, of course, she bought things with the shopping sprees that were, you know, somehow things you could cash back in. So U.S. Attorney for the District of Oregon said she used her intimate knowledge of the Weyerhaeuser company to perpetrate a lengthy and complex fraud, she went to great lengths to disguise her actions and mislead her colleagues, and also pointed out that she didn't pay taxes on the embezzled income. So court documents show that at one point she submitted fraudulent invoices for payment to a fake vendor she created, which was named after her mother. But her mother didn't know this. And then cashier's checks were made payable to the fake vendor due to her position in the accounting and finance departments. So she did face 20 years in prison and $250,000 fine. And then, of course, the aggravated identity theft conviction carried a two-year mandatory minimum sentence on top of any other prison sentences. So the numbers they worked out were part of a plea agreement. So they worked out numbers as part of a plea agreement. And the question always is, if you agree as part of a plea agreement to pay back $5.3 million you haven't got, does that really make much sense? So at this point, I think you'd spend more time focusing on how much time you can put someone behind bars for stealing $4.5 million. Now, I've mentioned before that there are a lot of these types of scams involving people in positions of trust. And I've heard of all kinds of crazy ones in my career, in the news, and so on. And one of the ones that pops up all the time, and it happens, I guess, once or twice a year. And I think I may have done a video or two on this, but quite often what happens is there'll be some organization somewhere, often a charity, or often like a sports team for kids, like Little League Baseball, or a traveling soccer team, or something like that. And they'll raise money from people in the community saying, hey, you want to help support our team? And a lot of it's the families of the players, and sometimes just people in the community. So people give them money, and they raise money through fundraisers, they might sell stuff, whatever. And they'll often have somebody volunteer to do the books. And at least once a year, I hear about one of these stories where some organization had raised a ton of money from people who were ardent supporters of the team, and they discover that although they've raised all this money, a lot of it's missing. They don't know where it went. And of course, the only way to figure that out is to ask the bookkeeper, who is a volunteer, who it turns out was living a lavish lifestyle, going on vacations, expensive weddings, buying expensive cars, and living a lifestyle a little bit above the means of a volunteer bookkeeper for a Little League baseball team. And so that happens quite a bit. But I've also heard of it, of just other organizations where an organization's a nonprofit. I've heard of this before. Nonprofit organizations got a volunteer bookkeeper, and they run into some financial hiccups, and they discover that they thought they had all this money. It turns out they've only got this money. Where'd it go? And then, of course, they go into the books to try to figure it out, and the bookkeeper made the books a mess to make it difficult to figure out. So you hear about people being prosecuted for this. It's very, very difficult sometimes to get a good prosecution because sometimes this happens over a long period of time. As they noted here, this has been going back for many, many years. And they said that, you know, at one point in time, the system changed, and that was 7 years ago. 7 years ago. So it predates that. So some of this stuff may have actually predated the statute of limitations in some respects. Not going to get into that right now. So I've also heard of other crazy ones. I know that if you have one of those postage meters in your office and you have to load money into it and then you print out the labels or you run things through for stamps, there was a time when you could, maybe you still can, I don't know. It's been a while since I had one in my office. But there's a time when you could run stuff through the meter and take that into a post office and get a refund on it. And I've heard of people stealing large amounts of money by just doing that every single day for a few dollars. And people do a lot of work to steal stuff. I've always thought, you know, they put some more effort into getting a job and working, but some of them are doing this on the side at their job. And one of the funnier ones I ever heard of, and by the way, this one's absolutely true. I know this is true. Just trust me on this one. But I know somebody who agreed to make payments for an employee who was driving quite a distance to the job. And the boss said, you go out and buy a car, and I will make the payments on your car for you as long as you get a reasonably priced car. So employee came back in, said, here's what the car's going to cost per month. Can you handle that? Boss says, yeah, not a problem. Well, the person who was the employee getting the car was also the bookkeeper. And so the bookkeeper, once a month, would cut a check for the car payment payable to themselves. And that's always a dangerous thing when you authorize someone to cut checks to themselves. So a few years goes by, and somewhere along the line, that bookkeeper leaves and actually moves out of the state, believe it or not, just weird coincidence. And a month or two later, another employee at the same company was talking at a lunch that the people were all having. I was there, so just trust me on this one. And she goes, I've got this kind of strange story. I'm not really sure, but I guess I should tell you guys this. And we go, what's that? And she goes, remember the bookkeeper who was getting an allowance to pay for the car? Yeah. That car was paid off a couple years ago. And the bookkeeper just kept cutting checks. Got so used to cutting a check every single month for that payment that when the car got paid off, just kept cutting the checks. Just kept cutting the checks. So, you know, there's a thing about people in positions of trust that you got to be careful about. And you got to make sure that you can trust them. And you might want to double check their work once in a while. So, you know, I don't know what the $4.5 million is in the grand scheme of Weyerhaeuser, because it probably was not much money at any given time. But there should be systems in place to track this. They should do audits from time to time, especially a company that large. The story I told you about the car payments, very, very small company, but only one person really looked at the books for that time period that person was there. So that'd be harder to catch, but, you know, got to look from time to time. And with respect to the organizations that get a volunteer bookkeeper, the thinking always is we're saving money. We got a volunteer bookkeeper. We're saving money. Well, when the money disappears, you didn't save anything. So you want to get somebody with knowledge who can double check the work from time to time and make sure that the money's being handled properly. So crazy story. Caleb sent it to me. Thanks a lot. K-E-Z-I, Channel 9. And Chelsea Hunt, I believe, wrote the story. Former Weyerhaeuser employee sentenced in massive embezzlement case. Going to do some jail time and try to pay back a little over $5 million. We'll see if that happens. Doubt it. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. One picture is worth 1,000 denials.